The following program is sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.
Today's show is provided for entertainment and general information purposes. Opinions expressed are those of the presenter only. We make no promises or guarantees of investment performance. Online Trading Academy is not a broker-dealer, certified financial planner, or registered investment advisor. Online Trading Academy is the world's most trusted name in professional trader and investor education. Enjoy the show. Hello, future traders and investors, and welcome to Power Trading Radio. I'm Christopher Crum, and I'm in studio today with my co-host and good friend, Mr. Matthew McGrath.
Hello, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Kind of trying to go under the weather here a little bit, but I'm hanging in there.
Yeah, so. You sound like you might be coming down with something.
I kind of am a little bit, but you know, we won't worry about that right now.
Yeah, I'm just glad the weather's finally a little bit warmer.
I am too. Hey, if you're brand new to the show, you might want to know that this show is actually fueled by Online Trading Academy. And Online Trading Academy, there are 45 locations, across the United States as well as abroad. And they've been teaching people how to trade and invest in the markets for the last almost 21 years.
Yeah.
So largest brick and mortar type of learning centers across the United States, or that is in the entire world.
I think it's the only one that's brick and mortar.
I think you might be right, Matt. So at the Academy, of course, what we do there is we teach people how to create income by trading the financial markets. And that's the sexy thing that we do. That's the one reason why I think most people come to the Academy, at least initially.
Definitely.
And trading is actually buying and selling in the financial markets. So we're talking about buying and selling stocks. Of course, everybody knows what the stock market is. Also futures. That's a global market, by the way, open 23 hours a day, 6 days a week. The options market, and then there's the global currencies market, also called the Forex market or the FX market.
Yeah.
And that's the largest market in the world. That one's also open 23 hours a day, 6 days a week. And on a typical trading day, $5.2 trillion will change hands in that market.
Yeah.
So we're taking students that literally know nothing about the finance industry, and we're teaching them a patented rule-based strategy that they can then just follow the rules to identify 4 trades a day, and they'll buy and sell those trades. And of course, we know the way that we make money buying and selling stuff is simply buy low and sell high, right? So that's what we do. We teach students how to trade their own money. Many of them have opened their own little trading businesses. These are oftentimes home-based businesses.
Yeah.
So they walk across the hall from their bedroom to their trading computer in their pajamas and set up their 4 trades in the morning, and they set it and forget it, oftentimes walk away and do something else for the day.
Yeah, I met with one last week who has employees and everything now. I mean, they're not only incorporated, but he has employees
nice.
At his trading company. And I remember when he started here years ago, he just started with a little $5,000 futures account.
Right. That's awesome. So people do it because, you know, oftentimes people love their job. They enjoy going to work every day. Maybe they found that calling in life and something that they're passionate about, and they want to keep doing that work. But you know what? Let's face it. Sometimes the dream job doesn't pay as much as you'd like. And
yeah.
So they're looking to create another passive stream of income. So they'll use the money to supplement their income. That puts them in a better position financially to buy their dream home or go on their dream vacation. Of course, drive the car that they want to drive. Maybe it's a boat. Yeah. That they want to buy. So, you know, we have people that, of course, want to supplement their income. And then there are others who just are tired of the rat race. They're tired of corporate politics, tired of waiting for their boss to decide whether or not they're worthy of making more money, tired of having other adults tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And they're just tired of the job. Maybe they've got that tyrannical boss that doesn't like them, and so therefore they don't like the boss. And they don't want to do it. Maybe you're one of those people who, like my last corporate position, the boss made us stick around all day on Christmas Eve, even though there were no customers in the building, there was nothing to do. We had to sit around and play solitaire. But you know what? Gosh darn it, he paid us for our time.
Right.
And isn't that an absurd idea? Somebody's paying you for your most valuable asset, the time that you have left on this earth. You're just trading that for a paycheck. So we've got students, of course, that want to retire to do it full time for a living. And many, many students who have done it over the
years. Yeah, I see more and more, and one comes to mind just this last week, who love their job, but something major has changed.
Right.
And I just met with one in the last Tuesday's workshop that I taught. Young man, only 30 years old, and he just absolutely loved his job. You know, decent paying job, working class job, maybe $30 an hour.
Uh-huh.
But something has changed at the company, and now he dreads going to it each day.
Sure. So we have a lot of graduates that retire to do it full time for a living. Excuse me.
Then there are those who want to create wealth over time. And of course, we do that through the act of investing. And investing is when you're buying an asset, something that's likely to appreciate in value, and you hang on to it, and over time, of course, it can appreciate in value.
Sure.
In which case, then you'd sell it later down the road and then spend that money or use it for income. Use it for income and retirement. I've been a real estate investor for years, still do it, and that's one of my passive streams of income, along with, of course, trading the financial markets and then investing in the financial markets too.
Right.
And with investments, typically you're going to invest in assets that don't have an expiration. So those are the types of assets that you'll hold over time. If you're investing in futures, for example, well, there's an expiration to that agreement.
Yes.
And if you've got a futures contract that says that you buy 20,000 bushels of soybeans, and that comes due, then somebody's going to show up with trucks loads of soybeans, and you're going to have to pay for that. Options, by the way, too, have an expiration. But options are really great because you can use those in your long-term accounts to hedge your investments.
That's really what they were meant to be used for. That's what they were designed for.
Sure. So we teach our students how to do that. It's a better mousetrap. We teach our students how to make money when the markets are going up. More importantly, what to do if there's an unexpected turn in the markets, and it looks like you're going to lose money. Now what do you do?
Right.
And so we teach our students how to get their money back immediately and then how to turn around and invest it in things like inverse ETFs that will go up in value as the markets decline.
Right.
So that's what we do at the Academy. We teach people how to trade the financial markets, a rule-based strategy that they can apply to a trading account if they want to supplement or replace their income. And then we teach people about long-term investing, how to grow their wealth, wealth over time. And you know what? If either of these concepts resonate with you, if you think you'd enjoy the freedom of schedule of being able to trade unlimited earning potential, or maybe you're just more concerned about your long-term potential as far as building wealth for retirement, you know what? Here's an idea. Check us out on the World Wide Web at TradingAcademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. TradingAcademy.com, all one word. And that's an incredibly comprehensive website out there, folks. You wouldn't believe how much stuff is out there. Just because you visit the site, you're getting a ton of free knowledge from TradingAcademy.com.
I've never seen a more comprehensive site.
It's incredibly comprehensive. I think we've got a great show for you guys today. So I hope you stick around here through the commercial breaks. But we're going to talk about both trading and investing. More importantly, how do you make money? How can you replace or supplement your income if you're trading the financial markets? How difficult is it? How much money would you need to get started if you wanted to open your own little trading business? So we'll talk about some of the rules and regulations of the industry. More importantly, about a rule-based strategy that we teach at Online Trading Academy. But for now, we've got to pause for station identification. We'll be right back. This is Power Trading Radio. Well, if you're a little confused about what you're doing right now, you're listening to Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath.
So we were talking a little bit before the break that at our company, we teach people how to trade and invest in the financial markets, how to do it successfully. What we want to do is teach you how Wall Street does it, because Wall Street cleans up. It doesn't matter what the markets are doing. They still manage to make a ton of profit from the financial markets.
Every year, by the way.
Every year.
I mean, and they get better and better at it every year.
Sure. So, you know, there are a couple of things that I'll throw at you here. I think number one, the first thing that I'll tell you is that price moves in the markets all the time. And I mean, I'm talking moment by moment, minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day, you're going to see price fluctuations. And it happens because of imbalances of supply and demand in these markets. So we all know that if there's more supply than demand, in other words, more people trying to sell their stock, for example, than there are people wanting to buy it, then they've got to decrease their price in order to attract some willing buyers.
Yeah, and price typically goes down.
And price will go down because of that. Now, the opposite is true, of course. If there are more buyers than sellers for a specific stock, then those guys, the buyers, will increase their bid price in order to attract more willing sellers.
Sure.
And so it happens all of the time. Once we kind of understand this concept, then we start to know that as we're looking at a chart, kind of what to start looking for in that chart. In other words, how can we look at a chart and identify where it's likely that there are imbalances of supply and demand? How can we identify where it's likely the banks and institutions are putting their money today? Are they buying? Are they selling? And what we want to do is we want to do the same thing the banks are doing today.
Exactly. That's the whole key to it. Right.
Right. So now that I've kind of, I guess, encapsulated that for our listeners real quick. So we teach a rule-based strategy at the Trading Academy. And in fact, you know, during the commercial breaks, I give away these workshops and we introduce everybody to that strategy during those workshops. But the key to the whole to success in the markets is, I guess, number one, knowing that you're going to lose on some trades.
Sure.
So you got to manage that risk. You got to manage your trades in a manner that minimizes your losses. Number two, the second thing that you need to know about trading the financial markets, that is that you need to have rules that tilt the odds in your favor.
Right.
So that when you win on trades, then you're going to win a lot of money. Right?
Yeah.
So we keep our gains high and our losses small. And at the end of the day, if we're day trading, we got more money in our account than what we started.
And in a trade plan, one of the most important sections is your rules section. And just to give your listeners an example of what a trading rule is, one of the rules I have in my plan and I make my students put in their plans is that we're not going to add money to losing positions.
Right.
And this is something that we've all been taught to do in this country since we were kids, right? In other words, if you liked a stock at $75 a share and now it's gone down to $10 a share, you should obviously buy more, right?
Right. That's, a lot of people think that.
And again, that's one of the things that seems to make sense that the financial community pushes on us, our advisors and so on. But if you think about it, it makes no sense at all. Why would you add money to losing positions? That's what we call at the Academy, buying into a loser.
Of course it is. And, you know, well, that brings up a story. One of the people that showed up to one of our workshops, and he was a quote-unquote experienced trader. So he'd been trading his own account, and he brought this whole concept up that if he's in a losing trade, he says, first of all, I never lose on trades. Well, that's not possible.
Right.
So
anyone that tells you that is not telling the truth.
No, but in a way, he's right because, you know, he's a buy and hold investor who's just buying stocks and hanging on to them. Well, if he's in a losing position,
right,
he just simply never sells it. So in his mind, he thinks, I've never lost that.
Right.
I've never lost the money on this, so that means I'm not in a losing trade.
Yeah.
So he's never lost money. But then I'm like, well, how many trades do you have right now that have gone against you that if you did sell it today and it was over half of his portfolio,
well, sure,
he would have lost
course.
Money on it.
And what kind of strategy is that, by the way? So
it's a terrible
that assumes that we live forever, right? In other words, his philosophy is, I'm going to hold on to it until it goes back up. And, of course, the first flaw with that strategy is nothing has to go back up. There's plenty of stocks I can point to that have been depressed for years. I mean, that have never gone back to their highs,
right?
Even in this rally. Yeah. You know, and then the second flaw with that strategy, if you think about it, isn't the whole reason that we're investing to begin with is we do want to be alive when it goes back up?
Right.
So there is no end game in his strategy. So one day he's going to pass away, and he never will have reaped the benefits of any of his investments. I don't understand why he's investing to begin with.
Well, another interesting part of our conversation was this, that I looked at him and I said, so you've been in these trades, I presume, for months or even years. And he said, that's correct. And so what is your end strategy here? When do you sell them? And he said, well, I'm not of an age yet when I'm willing to sell them. But, you know, if I could just get whole on some of these things, I would just go ahead and move out of it. And, in fact, on several of them, I've gone ahead and bought back into the stock. And this is what you were talking about
right.
a while ago.
Oh, my gosh.
Because his thought is that he is somehow averaging them out to a lower price that he can, a lower break-even price. Does that
right.
make sense?
Yeah.
Because he makes more money on the lower-priced ones than, so, you know, it's not a very good strategy. And part of the reason why I think that it's a terrible strategy is because you need to keep a certain amount of liquidity in your portfolio. And if you tie yourself up into bad investments that aren't creating additional wealth for you, well, then what's the sense in doing it? I'd much rather accept a small loss early on in the game and then move that money over into something that is going to be a successful
investment. Yeah, what difference does it make if you lose 1% on a trade, which is what we teach, and I know what you do and I do as well. If on the other trades you've set up that day, again, you've made money three times what you lost on that one trade you got stopped out 1% on. I mean, and that's a significant amount of money. I mean, $200 for every $5,000 that you have in your account.
Right.
I have a lot of graduates with, you know, over $100,000 accounts that they're making $4,000 in one day if they're wrong on half their trades.
Right.
I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Right.
I'm with you. This buy and hold strategy. And then buy more when it goes down. It's just, it's totally counterintuitive.
Right. You know, the markets have been going up, and so buy and hold has been friendly to everybody here the last, well, since 2010,
since the election.
I guess. Well, yeah, especially since the election. It's been going up. The Dow's been breaking new highs. And, you know, everybody's feeling pretty confident about the markets. You look at your 401k, you see, well, there's more money in your 401k than you started with last month. And maybe you're not getting out-of-sight returns on these mutual funds, but at least it's going up, which is better
right.
than going down, right?
For sure.
But you know what? What must go up is likely to go down someday, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, I mean, and it has to. We have a correction every 18 months in our stock market's history, and lately we've had a crash every 8 years. you know, what I feel sorry for is I see more and more young people in our workshops who are getting into this for the first time, who are maybe 25, 30 years old, and for the first time last year, they started participating in the 401k. So they've seen nothing but an up market, and you can see the confidence in their eyes.
Right.
They believe the sky's the limit. They've never experienced any pain from a correction or a crash like you and I have.
Right.
And I almost feel sorry for them because they think it's easy, and it's not.
You know Merlin Rothfield, of course.
I know.
You know him, and he's a good friend and colleague of ours at the Trading Academy. In fact, if you go look up powertradingradio.com, you're going to find out Merlin's got a blog site at that particular. Our radio show is called Power Trading Radio. We share the same name with Merlin. And Merlin produced a very interesting video here a little while back. You know, most people know that the markets have gone up. There's solid evidence of that, but they don't know why it's gone up.
Right.
Also, it's been going up pretty fast. And a lot of people don't understand this. They just think, well, if they're going up, let's don't question it. Everything's going to be fine. Merlin has been speculating that every time that we have had a dip in the markets and then the markets start to incline, typically what happens is the government will step in and they'll raise interest rates.
Right.
Just slowly raise interest rates, and they raise it along with the increase in the market.
Mm-hmm.
That helps to buffer that growth.
Right.
So it's just not this Wild West out of control bubble that's being built.
Right.
The interest rates help curtail that. And they've done zero interest rate hikes.
No, I actually did see that. Watched that.
At three scheduled for 2018, but they're small ones. They're not enough to have any impact on it.
Uh-huh.
And so if Merlin's right, and you know what, this guy's rocket science genius level intelligence, then we're probably sitting on a pretty big bubble that could burst at any time.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. You know, another interesting thing is, you know, before when the Fed raised interest rates during big market moves, it was to curb inflation. And I think that's what has the Fed so perplexed, is that we have not had any inflation for how long now?
I mean,
no, significant inflation for, 15, 20 years.
Yes.
And so I think that's part of the reason that the Fed is, even though we're in record market territory now, they're still not raising rates aggressively.
Right.
But he is correct. And you need something to stem that growth to make it more steady, or eventually it does burst.
Right, because what's causing that growth, if you want to get down to the organics of it, is that a lot of people are jumping into the market right now. E-Trade has 1,000 new users a day joining their service. So there are a lot of people jumping into the markets, and they're buying up stock, and they're buying up options and futures contracts and currency pairs. And the more, it's a demand. We're in a demand zone, a big one right now.
Yeah.
So prices will probably still go up until it doesn't go up anymore. And then it's going to go down.
Yeah, that's, by the way, another rule that I make all of my students put in their trade plan is that they're not going to chase trades. And that's what these young people who are opening up E-Trade accounts at record numbers right now are doing, is they're chasing a move that's already happened.
Right.
And that's a serious mistake retail investors make, is they wait until the market has gone up significantly before they're willing to get in. And, of course, that's buying at retail. That's chasing that move, and it's a horrible mistake.
It's a common mistake as well, and it's a mistake that Wall Street doesn't make.
No.
You know, Wall Street is in the business of selling. That's what it boils down to. They buy at wholesale and they sell at retail. And there are 39 million-ish people in the United States alone that are trying to trade their own accounts. And these are the people that go to E-Trade because they saw the guy on the fancy yacht commercial and it made them laugh. And then they don't want to get mad. They're going to get E-Trade. And so they buy into that whole thing thinking that, you know what, I'm going to get on here, I'll dial something in, I'll just try a few things. And eventually, you know, all the markets are going up, so I just need to buy and hold these things long enough, and I'm going to get rich. And it's so much more complex than that. You got to have better strategies than just that.
Well, it's amazing. It's the only field that I know of that people get into where they're risking money, right, attempting to make money without any education.
Sure.
And, you know, 70% of those people who open those retail trading accounts at Ameritrade, E-Trade, Scottrade, Fidelity, and Schwab not only lose money, they lose their whole account. I mean, this is a field that if you're going to get into, you can certainly make a lot of money, but you do have to be educated. It's not even an option. Those are the only people who make money trading are educated traders.
That's the only people that, you're right, Matt, are educated traders. It's a learned skill. You've got to learn how to do it. And the financial markets are complex. They are risky. and by design, by the way. Wall Street wants to keep it complex and risky. Wall Street doesn't want you to get educated because they're very successful at extracting money from the accounts of the people that don't know what they're doing right. in the financial markets. A lot of their profits come from that. But they call this community of individuals that are trading their own accounts the retail trading community. And there's a reason why they coined that term.
Absolutely.
Because they like to buy at wholesale and sell into the retail trading community at retail.
Right.
That's why they call it that. You know, after the break, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what it really takes if you wanted to open your own little trading business, maybe to replace or supplement your income, the ins and outs of doing that, how much money do you need to get started, is it really that easy for everybody to do? So stick around through the break. We'll be right back. This is Power Trading Radio. Howdy, folks. Welcome back. Hey, if you're just now joining us, this is Power Trading Radio with Christopher Crum and
Matt McGrath,
the greatest co-host in the history of radio broadcasting.
Well, thank you,
Mr. Matt. So we promised folks that we would talk about what it's like to open your own little trading business if you wanted to replace or supplement your income. What we do is we teach people how to buy and sell in the financial markets. Of course, we've already covered this. We want to buy low and sell high. Just like the big banks and institutions, we want to buy at wholesale and sell at retail.
Right.
And we don't care who buys it. We just want to transfer their money into our account.
Right.
And, you know, so to get started, if you wanted to trade the financial markets to retire, to supplement or to supplement your income, first of all, you need some basic technology skills.
Sure.
Because we use online as well as software to trade with. And if you can't drive a mouse, if you can't open a file,
yeah.
And we've seen some folks come into the academy, they're kind of in that boat.
Absolutely.
Never turned a computer on, and so then they want us to teach them how to use a computer, and we're just kind of not built for that.
Well, and the problem is they end up spending the whole training session where we're teaching them how to trade trying to figure out the basic functions of a computer
right.
instead of learning how to trade and make money,
right.
which is what they come here for. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you don't need IT skills. You know yourself. And our producer of the show can certainly testify to, I have horrible computer skills.
Right.
That is my least favorite thing to do. I would never go home and spend time on a computer. I'd much rather read a book. But I can use a mouse and open and close windows and use the internet.
Sure.
That's what we mean by basic PC skills. We teach you how to use the trade software at Online Trading Academy to make money.
Right.
But they assume that you can turn the machine on.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about money. Because if you're in the business of buying and selling, obviously you need some money. You know, if we're looking at this like it's a business, if you were a retail business, you would buy your product at wholesale and then sell it at retail. Or in other words, you'd buy your inventory at wholesale and sell it at retail. And we're going to do the same thing, just buying our products off of the financial markets.
Right.
So you need some money to be able to do that. Now, there's kind of some different rules for investors versus traders. If you're a buy and hold investor and you're buying stocks, I mean, you could start with a little bitty account. You start with $500,
$1,000.
Sure. Buy some stocks and hang on to it and, you know, see what happens. But if you're going to do what Matt and I do every day, which is actually
pattern day trading
and trading with high frequency, then it changes the game a little
bit.
Yes,
there's rules.
There's some rules. So if you were day trading stocks, then you would need you need to maintain an account size of at least 25,000.
Right.
So you need to start with a minimum of 25,000.
Mm-hmm.
To classify you as a pattern day trader, all you'd need to do is place 4 day trades within a 5 trading day period. And if you don't know what a day trade is, here's the definition. It's simply buying your trade after the market opens, but then you're going to sell your trade by the end of the day, either for a profit or for a loss.
No, you're in and out during the same market session.
Right, but you get a cash overnight.
Right.
But if you do 4 of those within a 5 trading day period, then the brokerage has to, by law, classify you as a pattern day trader.
Right, and by the way, that's not a bad thing. I know a lot of people are afraid of that. I get that question all the time in the workshop. Well, if I trade that often, won't the government classify me as a day trader? Like, that's a bad word. No, right. It's actually a good thing. In fact, if you trade frequently, right,
yep.
like that, there's a lot of benefits, like being able to write off the expenses associated with your trading.
Sure.
That's a huge one. Whereas if you're just an investor, you know, someone who's buying and selling occasionally, you can't write anything off.
Right. Yeah. So it is a huge advantage, and if you're going to be in the business of trading and pay the mortgage with your profits from that, then you need to do it with frequency.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to trade the options market, and an options contract is simply the right to buy or sell a specific asset on or before a specific date at a specific price, and so we can use those options in our long-term accounts to hedge or to insure the assets that we're buying and holding over the long term. That's what they were built for.
Yeah.
Now, but there is a market for these options contracts, and you can buy and sell them as well.
Right.
But you need a minimum account size of at least $10,000.
Yeah, some of my most successful graduates here locally are options traders.
Sure. The futures market, which is Matt's favorite, it's a global market, first of all, an extremely versatile market, wouldn't you say? Because can trade a futures contract on almost anything.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that's unique. It's the only asset class where you can trade what are called non-correlated assets, things that have nothing to do with each other. In other words, what's going on with corn has nothing to do with what's going on with the Dow Jones Industrial Average future. Sure. Those are two non-correlated assets. And that's key specifically with our strategy that we teach, mm-hmm. because in our strategy, as you know, the only way that you can lose money is if you're wrong on all of your trades.
Yes.
And so if you're trading four non-correlated assets, right, doesn't that make it less likely that you're wrong
sure
on all of your trades?
Yep.
And so it's difficult to have a day where you lose money.
Right. You can start with as little as $5,000 in that account. And if you were a futures trader, which many, many, many of our students graduated from the futures program, you'd be targeting about $200 a day. And in the next segment, we'll get into the math about that, so you'll understand what I'm talking about. But that's if you're right on half of your trades.
Yeah.
You lose on two, you win on two each day. And you have a net profit of $200.
Yeah, not assuming you're working from a $5,000 account.
Right.
And by the way, just because that's all you need to open a futures account doesn't necessarily mean that's what you should start with. If money's not an issue, someone, has already got a lot of disposable income, I usually recommend they start with $15,000 because you'd have enough money to trade any of the 40 major futures in any combination of four. So you have a lot more options available to you. And by the way, you're making $600 a day.
Yes.
If you're right on half of your trades, which right. replaces a lot of my students' income right out of the gate.
Sure it does. And then, of course, the big one is the Forex market, the foreign exchange market, where you're trading currency pairs. And this is a global market. Again, the biggest one. You can start with as little as $2,000. I mean, you can start smaller than that, but you're not going to make any money, right?
And you can open a Forex account with $50, but how many people have you met, Chris, that started with $50 that made money?
No, none.
Not one. I can't think of anyone. You'd be eaten alive by what's called the spread.
Sure.
Forex brokers don't charge commissions like normal brokers do for mm-hmm. futures or stocks. They earn money on what's called the spread. And if you have a small account, $50, you just get eaten alive by the spread.
Sure.
It's not even possible to make money.
But with a $2,000 account, and of course you can trade this market 6 days a week if you're doing that, you'd be targeting, is it $80 a day?
Yeah.
6 days a week, $1,900 and change each month
yeah.
from that market.
Not so too shabby. That's a nice little extra source of income.
Yeah, you're not going to replace your income with that probably if you wanted to retire to do this. But if you leave the money in there, and we'll explain this in the next segment, but we work off a percentage of our account. So that percentage stays the same. But as the dollar amounts rise, of course, we're increasing our risk a little bit, but we're also increasing our gains dramatically.
Right.
So if you left the money in there, then the next month, instead of targeting $80 a day, you'd be targeting close to $160 a day.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the number of graduates, people that have gone through our programs that decided they wanted to retire to do this. They couldn't do it right away because they had to start off with a small amount of money. They didn't have a lot of savings. But then over time, they gradually grew the account to a level that they were making more money than they were at their real job.
Yeah.
And it just made sense for them to walk away.
I remember a long time ago when you really only need to have $500 to open up a Forex account. And how many people have we met over the years that have replaced their income from that?
Oh, I can't count the number of people that have changed their lives starting with just $500. But you need $2,000 if you want to do that. So that's your startup capital for your business. You need your own computer. And you need, I recommend a private place in your home to put your computer.
Yeah.
Keep it separate from the kids and, Pinterest activities and things like that. It's your work computer.
Yeah, or a laptop. You can trade from anywhere in the world that has internet access. And
right.
The broker that we recommend, you can have the platform downloaded on up to 8 machines. So, like, I have one at home, at the office, on a laptop.
Sure. So you got to have that. If you wanted to do this, it would require some emotional discipline. And in these workshops we do, giveaway during the breaks to some of you folks, we actually deploy an emotional IQ test just to see kind of where people would rate in that.
Right.
But there, if you are an emotional person, Matt and I are both emotional, and we're both very competitive people, and we don't like to lose.
Yeah.
And so what we both do, and I'm going to speak for you here, but we both set it and forget it. We both decided a long time ago that let's set up these trades. The software is automated. It's going to do the trading for us. It'll do the buying and selling. You just got to tell it what asset you want to buy and sell today, what price you want to buy it for, what price you want to sell it for a profit. And then we put in something called a stop loss.
Right.
And that stop loss is the emergency brakes on the car. It's an exit order, or in other words, a sell order that will actually sell our position for a loss. But it's a small loss. We always limit our losses to 1% or less.
Yeah, so like on a $5,000 account, you'd lose $50 if you were wrong on a trade.
You got it. Hey, folks, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. Stick around. We'll be right back. This is Power Trading Radio. Welcome back. Hey, folks, I think I can speak for my co-host, as I do each and every week, in saying thank you so much for listening to our show today. We appreciate it. Matt and I have come to love to do the show every week. It's one of the highlights of my week when we sit down to do the show. And we wouldn't be able to do it without our loyal listeners out there. So a big shout out to you guys. If you're brand new to the show, if today's your first time, well, maybe you'll join us again next week.
Nice. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. You know, the last thing we were talking about in the last segment was set and forget. And you know what? What a cool concept it is. We live in this age of technology that allows us to do things like that. And, you know, my trading style, I'll get up in the mornings. I usually like to do a little pre-market routine and then put together those trades, and then I enter those trades in that software. So I'm making about 20 decisions in all, and then I tell the computer, I tell the software what my decisions were.
Right.
And then I tell it to execute. So as price moves around in the markets, that it will buy and sell for me. It takes half an hour, 45 minutes to take care of that, and then you're basically done. You can sit and watch it if you want to.
Right.
It's not a good idea for me to sit and watch it. I can tell you that, because then I want to fiddle with the rules and the parameters that make me money.
Yeah.
So it's better just to sit it and forget it and walk away.
I get that question all the time in the workshop. Why would I not want to sit and monitor the trades? Isn't that a benefit? Well, as you mentioned, not necessarily if you're emotional. Again, I'm the same as you. That emotional IQ test you talked about in the last segment, I bombed that test. I mean, it showed that I was very emotional. And I know right out of the gate, I know myself, if I were to watch those trades live throughout the day, there were so many mistakes that I would make. One, futures and Forex currencies move quickly. So typically your four trades are done in less than 2 hours. And so if I were watching my trades live and I saw that my trades were done in 2 hours and I just made a bundle of money, what do you think I'd be tempted to do?
Go back in.
Go back in and do another four. And I know myself, I would do 50 or 60 by the time the day was over. And one of the things we teach in the workshop is that is over trading. It's hard to find more than four trade setups that meet all of the ideal parameters for trading. So each time you go in and try and do another four and another four, your percentages go down. And now, of course, if you lose money, you want to go right back in and do another four to get that money back.
Right.
And that's why they say, know yourself, right? Know thyself. And that's what I know I would do if I watched my trades live throughout the day. I would definitely overtrade.
When you're doing this pre-trade routine, by the way, what you're actually doing, if you're one of our students or graduates, is you're pulling up a chart, and it's called a candle chart. The candle charts provide us with a lot of data, and it'll be a specific time frame chart based upon whether it's going to be a short-term trade or maybe a swing trade, which would take place over 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
But you're taking a look at the chart, and you are able to identify where it's likely that that price is going into demand. That means that price is likely to go up because demand is out of whack with supply. There's more demand than supply.
Right.
And vice versa. You can figure out where price is likely to go down. So you're looking for four assets to trade that day. They can be correlated or uncorrelated, as Matt mentioned earlier. And what they all need to share in common is they need to have three attributes. One is that it's got to be low risk by nature. That means you're looking at a good price to get into the trade with. The second one is that it's got to be a high probability, meaning the price is likely to go in the direction you want it to go. You're not going to be 100% accurate, but you could be right a lot of the time once you learn how to do it. And then the third one is high reward. We want to make a lot of money every time that we're right. And once we identify these trades, now we need to go ahead and tell the software how to manage the trades. And what we're going to do is we're going to bank on being right on half of our trades. So we're going to go ahead and plan for two losses out of the four trades we're doing. And we're going to limit that loss to 1% of our account per trade. So you're still in the business of trading tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm targeting a 3-to-1 reward to risk ratio on these guys. So the two that I'm right on, I'm going to triple the money that I have at risk.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, you know, and sometimes you're right on all four trades, right?
Yeah, that's nice. Even when you're new to this, that happens once a month. And when you're experienced like we are, it happens on average about three times a month. And I've had a month where I was right on all four trades five times. And those are just huge days.
Right.
I mean, as your account grows, if you're, you know, earning 3-1 on each of your trades and you have days that you're right on all four, they're just monstrous days. You know, we had a student who sent us an email just a couple of weeks ago. I think you know the person I'm talking about. I know you saw one of his emails, but I'm not sure you saw the follow-up. So he had sent us an email a couple of weeks ago that he had made his first $30,000 day. It was actually $35,000 he had made that day.
I saw that.
But then he sent a follow-up email where he had made $47,000 at the end of that week. And, you know, I remember when he came to the school, didn't he just start with a $10,000 futures account?
Yep.
And so now years later, I mean, well, it's just unbelievable.
I don't think it's been years. Didn't he start?
I think it was 2015.
November of 2015. Yeah. So that's not even 2 years yet.
That's amazing. I mean, he's already bought two vacation homes and paid cash for them. I think one was in Lake Tahoe, one was in Panama.
Right.
That's just unbelievable. But you will have big days like that if you follow the rules.
Sure. Well, and back to our scenario. So you're right on all four trades, you make a ton of money. You're right on three of four trades, you make a ton of money. You're right on two of four trades, you make a ton of money. You're right on only one trade today, you don't lose a single cent.
No, you break even.
You break even. So you got to lose on all four trades in order to lose money.
Yeah.
But, you know, the important thing is too, that and what most self-taught traders don't know is that you can make more money when the markets are going down than when the markets are going up. And you've got to have some tools in your trading arsenal that allow you to continue to prosper.
Absolutely.
No matter what the markets are doing. So selling short is one of those concepts.
Yeah.
What that means is, by the way, is that we're simply betting that the price is going to go down. That's what Matt would tell you. But what's truly happening here is that I'm looking at a price point of an asset. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I had some of that in my portfolio because this would be a great price to sell at. And it's going into supply, which means price is likely to be going down. But if I could sell a bunch of it, wouldn't that be cool? Well, you go ahead and push the sell short button. And what happens is the brokerage is holding an inventory of this asset. They go ahead and sell it on your behalf. They're lending you that asset,
right,
that quantity of asset. And they're selling it, putting the money in your account with the condition that you're willing to buy the asset back off the market and then give them the same number back.
Yeah, and you're not even committing to a time frame. You're just agreeing that at some point in the future, you're going to buy the same number of shares of that asset.
Right. So so if price, in fact, does go down and you get to your 3-1 profit ratio, so then you go ahead and buy it back at that lower price and then return the asset to the brokerage, and now you've just sold short.
Yeah.
Now, it sounds a lot more complex than it really is.
Right.
But Wall Street does it all day long. The sell short button is right next to your buy button in your brokerage page.
Yeah.
And it's the other side of the coin that most people don't understand how to do.
Yeah, it's just a buy order in reverse. Mm-hmm. You know, most people make money by buying and then selling at a higher price, right?
Yep.
When you're shorting, you're selling first at the higher price, mm-hmm, and buying second at the lower price. Either way, you make the same amount of money. The reason that shorts are more profitable than buys, though, as you'd mentioned earlier, is that when price does go down, it tends to go down faster,
right,
than when it goes up. So you'll notice that your shorts hit their targets much faster than your buys do.
So if what Merlin, you know, we mentioned Merlin Rothfield earlier on the phone, or on the phone, on the radio show, and about how he's kind of predicting that we're building this bubble because the Fed hasn't raised any interest rates. And if that's the case, and you're simply a buy and hold investor, if all you've got is a mutual fund in your 401k, then you're susceptible to this bubble bursting again like we had in 2008. If you are a stock investor and you're buying stocks and holding on to them with absolutely no strategy for if the market goes against you, then you are susceptible to losing a ton of money. And that's why, you know, we use the stop loss on everything that we do. If it's a buy and sell, buy low and sell high, well, we're going to lose money if the price goes down, aren't we?
Yeah.
On the short sell, we're going to lose money on that one if the price goes up.
Exactly.
So if it goes up higher than what we sold it for, and we have to buy it back to give it to the brokerage and buy it at the higher price, we've just lost money from that.
Right. And in either case, we're only going to risk 1%. That's what we teach.
Right. So we put a buy order above where we purchased it for that to limit that loss to 1%.
Right. I think a lot of people get confused because they don't understand how we can sell something that we don't own. And you did a very good job of explaining that. We're not, actually. We're borrowing the shares from the brokers so that we have the shares to sell. And then we're just selling those shares at the current price.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. You know, in long-term investments, there are other things you can do. There's something called an exchange-traded fund. That's what I put most of my money in, if it's going to go in the financial markets. And what that typically is, it's like a basket of stocks that will mimic a return in the markets. The ticker symbol SPY, Standard & Poor's, that's the very first one that was built by Wall Street back in 1992, and it mimics the return of the S&P 500. So the minute you buy a share of that, your money is spread across 500 top companies in the United States, so you're instantly diversified. But along with these ETFs, there's something called an inverse of each,
right,
or a companion ETF. And the inverse actually goes down when the regular ETF is going up.
Right.
But when the regular ETF is going down, the inverse is going up.
Right.
And you can look up ticker symbol SH, which is the opposite or the inverse of...
Yeah, and that's the way so many educated traders spiders made a fortune in 2008 when the rest of us lost an average of 39% simply by switching from the spider to the inverse spider, ticker symbol SH. So they made 39% when the average American lost 39%. That's another indirect way of shorting.
You betcha. Hey, if you want to learn more about the financial markets and about what we do at Online Trading Academy, you know what? Visit us again. Again, visit us out on the World Wide Web at tradingacademy.com. That's T-R-A-D as in Dan. Tradingacademy.com, all one word. You can find me and Matt out on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/OTAKC, which is the acronym for Online Trading Academy, Kansas City. Maybe we'll see you out there as well. Hey, on behalf of my producer today, the man flying the plane, Mr. Matthew Roberts, my good friend and co-host, Mr. Matthew McGrath, I'm Christopher Crum. Sure had a great time with you today, but we'll hopefully see you next weekend.
The preceding program was sponsored by Online Trading Academy of Kansas City.